The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory,
glory, glory.
Oh,
glory, glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already. It's Levin Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I don't have any clue what it is you're doing at 11 o'clock, but whatever it is that you do, I'm happy that you're doing that, do with me. 22. That is the number of people that has already been sworn into the cabinet of the Bahamas. By all indications, it looks as though the entire electoral parliamentary caucus of the Progressive Liberal Party will somehow have its hands in the inner workings and goings-on of government. With already 22 cabinet positions already picked by the Prime Minister, we now see today that there's going to be a second round of parliamentary secretaries in the Progressive Liberal Party administration. And so I see that there's going to be 7 parsecs to accommodate or to complement the 22 cabinet ministers. And I don't know what the method behind the madness is going to be. I don't know how Mr. Davis intends to justify needing to have a cabinet this size. But literally, all you needed to do was contend or contest a seat in the last general election in a yellow necktie, and you, my dear friend, are on your way to the cabinet of the Bahamas. Now, most notably among the picks is that of Jobet Kobe Davis to me. I thought that was an unusual ministry. Ministry of Housing and Transportation. I trust she shall have gray hairs by next January. Because those two, you know, ministries, they're challenging. I mean, transportation in and of itself is a challenging ministry. The cruise ship industry comes underneath it. Public transportation comes underneath it. Road traffic department comes underneath it. There's so many things that come underneath the Department of Transportation. And then I also thought it quite interesting yesterday that she would say that, you know, she intends to build houses. I don't know exactly how she's calculated the mathematics on that. What I'm going to say, though, is that if there is already a housing crisis, the last thing you may want to be doing is building houses. People already cannot afford houses. And so I wait to see. Also, there is the kerfuffle that Miss Leslie Bryce has found herself in with some legislation that precludes her ability from being in the cabinet. You know, I guess these are the breaks. If you live in a small society, people are connected in ways that are unusual. And when those people are connected in the ways that they are connected, it precludes their ability to do certain things. And as a consequence, we will not get the luxury for as long as her status in life remains. We will not get the luxury of seeing her as a member of this cabinet. And I have a guest with me, there's going to be some other appointments that I found quite interesting. I think that it was interesting to see Obadiah Hercules Wilskos is now going to be the Minister of Social Services and Urban Development. I await to see his handling of that. I want to say that that is a very teeny tiny itsy bitsy budget. I don't know if he was come to be interested in having teeny tiny itsy bitsy budget. As the Minister of Social Service, that is what he will get, a very small budget in a very crucial time to do a lot of work. And the Ministry of Social Service is designed in an interesting way where the ministry itself isn't that big, actually. The Department of Social Services translates into a much larger complement of people, I understand. And so it's going to be interesting to see how, again, one of the top chief ministers in the Christie cabinet returns this time as the Social Services Minister. Usually there's very little glitz and glamour attached to being the Minister of Social Service. It is literally all hard work and grit. And so we'll see if Obi Wiscombe is up to that task. And then, of course, there is going to be Pia Glover-Roll that joins Fred Mitchell in the Ministry of Public Service. And there's going to be Mario Boleg as the Minister of Youth, Sports, and Culture. That should turn out to be quite interesting because we all looked around. We looked at the era of Danny Johnson, and we thought to ourselves about the dismal, absolute, abysmal failure that the last two ministers of youth and sport have been. They've really offered nothing that you could say of any note. Of course, one of those was Minister Hiram Lewis, who we must admit inherited a bad situation. He came in a pandemic with very little, you know, that he could do at the time that he was given the ministry. Notwithstanding that, he happens to have had that tenure. So I have in studio, he is Olympic silver medalist, and he's got one big bunch of other medals that I'm sure he's won, but that one is the most crowning accomplishment that comes to my mind right now. Andretti Bain, how are you? Is he there?
Hi, Levon. I'm doing great, sir. How are you?
Great. Good to have you. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. So it's official. The pick for youth, sport, and culture is going to be Mario Boleg. And the question that comes right to my mind is, what is going on in the minds of athletes? How are athletes seeing this? Is this, in fact, the dawn of a new day? Or what does it represent in the sporting community for people like yourself?
I think it's always important to have someone in that position who is familiar with sports. Mm-hmm. Because they could truly understand the dynamics of sports, the dynamics of athletes, what it takes to get the athletes going. You know, so we're looking forward to it. And, you know, so we'll see. But right now it's a lot of optimism as, you know, he is someone who is familiar with sports. And truth be told, sports in the country, you know, this is the country's bread and butter in most cases. We have a lot of potential. We have a lot of talented athletes. And, you know, we really just need that support all across the board from our government agencies, our government, our minister. So we're looking forward to it, and we're wishing him all the best.
What would you say has been missing over the last 5 years? Has there not been enough inclusion, participation? Has there not been enough governmental involvement? What exactly has been missing from sports and culture in particular over the last 4 years, and what do you hope is happening next?
Okay, so based off my background, I could speak more so to sports as compared to culture, and understandably so, you know, we're still going through a pandemic. It's hard to truly, you know, grade over the last 5 years, but I could tell you from my experience, being home over the last almost 10 years, you know, we do a very great job of developing our youth athletes, our high school athletes, our club systems. But we depend heavily on our neighbors to the north, the U.S., be it college coaches, professional programs. We depend heavily on them to develop and maintain our senior athletes. And so, you know, what I'd like to see really and truly is just more support for the development and maintenance of our senior athletes, because those are the ones who we gain all the marketing exposure from. Those are the ones who go off to the Olympics, the World Championships, the Commonwealth Games, and, you know, give the Bahamas more marketing than we could ever afford to pay. You know,
sure. So, what are your views on our facilities? I mean, a lot of what is the sport product isn't just the 30 seconds or the 9 seconds that an athlete walks out of the locker room at the Olympics, runs a 9-second or 11-second race and kind of gives a 30-second interview, I'm sure there's a whole lot more tied to the success than that. How have the facilities been around New Providence? Are you finding training and access to training is something that is difficult?
Training and access to training is extremely difficult. Now, I'm a firm believer that facilities don't make an athlete.
Sure.
However, it makes training a whole lot easier. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think we have a lot of potential. I've always pitched the idea of trying to use what we have at the University of the Bahamas, you know, as a high-performance training facility. We don't have to build any new structures. It's already mm-hmm. there, you know. And so we just need more access to these facilities or proper training facilities. So I could give you a prime example. Training and living in the U.S., you arrive to training. When you leave from training a few hours later, you would have already gotten your track workouts in. Mm-hmm. You would have already gotten your physiotherapy, be it your massages, your adjustment, your ice baths, whatever is needed for recovery. You would have already gotten your gym session and you leave, right? Mm-hmm. Be it in a college system or university system or in a professional training environment. Now, being home, you come to the track. Then when you're finished with that, you have to go and source your gym membership at one of the local gyms. So you have to, you know, you're losing time and momentum and energy just maneuvering to that next stage of training. Then when you're done with that, you have to probably now go and source a physiotherapist, a massage therapist, a chiropractor. Mm-hmm. And again, you're losing time and energy and efforts into making that happen. Yeah. So by the time as you go through a training day in the U.S., you would have spent probably 3 hours of your day to go through a training day here in the Bahamas. You honestly could
spend... This could be a 2 or 3 day operation.
This could be a 2 or 3 day operation. Plus, the cost of getting that done also becomes very expensive. And in most cases, a lot of our athletes can't afford it. Don't mind you seeing athletes on television and looking good and smiling and doing well. A lot of the athletes can't afford to actually afford to train the way that they need to train here at home.
Mm. That's all I thought right there. Kermit, let's go to the break. I'm in studio. Andretti Bain is my guest. We're talking about what's next. You know, the appointment of a minister is always a wonderful thing. I don't think they could have appointed anybody better in this dispensation to the portfolio of Minister of Sport. Of course, you know, I think the Ministry of Youth is nothing more than intellectual masturbation. Notwithstanding that, I see it's back. The Ministry of Youth, Sports and Culture. There are people that have contended or have offered that maybe we need a Ministry of Culture that's standalone. I don't necessarily share that view either. But I do think that with what the Bahamas has been able to create as a powerhouse for sports throughout the universe, that we ought to pay some particular attention there because I think there's much asset and interest to be gained there. We'll talk a little bit more about that on the next side of the break. We'll be back right after this.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, they've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. Always, you're always calling me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The 1, 2, 4, 2. The count depends on you. So tell Teddy, go tell the law. Mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
What happened to you?
You look like you lost your paycheck.
Man, I just realized I got scammed out of a bunch of money. They said I won this contest and just needed me to send them some money so I could collect. I mean, to expedite something. Or was it to smooth the process?
Man, you're smarter than that. Protect yourself against scams and fraud by following these tips. If you know you didn't enter a competition, you can't win. Never play to receive a cash prize. If you're being asked, you're being scammed. Check trusted internet sites for verification of information given to you. Do not give your banking details to people you don't know. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. Monitor your bank account regularly for any questionable transactions. Get more information at GetMoneySmartBahamas.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Thank you for staying with us. Welcome back. Levan Miller is here. My numbers, they're 323-6232, 325-4259, and 325-4316. You can text me on 422-4796. Andretti Bain is in studio with me. We're talking about sports and what's next. I mean, what's hoped for? What is it that athletes, what is it that the professional athlete, what is it that the up-and-coming athlete need in the Bahamas to have success? I mean, I've seen people like Andretti, those who I know have been at it all of my life. Like, I do not know of a time that Andretti Bain wasn't running. And so you see 20 years go by, 25 years go by, and you wonder at the end of the day, well, how do athletes sustain life, right? How do they have families, build homes? Because they want the same things. And so when you consider track and field, basketball, or whatever sport it is, doing it as a professional athlete, do you think Bahamians are at the point where we do not just see it as playing ball or playing track and field? Like, has the Bahamian society taken it serious enough? And do you think that we see the kind of government participation and inclusion that suggests that?
I think those who are more familiar with the internal affairs of professional athletics or sports in general, I think they see it more as a profession and where it can be a very lucrative profession, be it track, especially you see what's happening with basketball and all that stuff like that. The general public, no, they still see it as you playing sports, right?
Yeah.
I remember this year makes 31 years that I've actually been running.
Right.
I started since I was 5 out at Carltony.
Yeah.
And I remember going through career day in high school and in some cases even college. Everyone saying they want to be a doctor, lawyer, whatever it is, their profession they wanted to be.
Right.
And I said I wanted to run. I was like, what? You want to run around for the rest of your life?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you just don't hear that.
Yeah, you don't hear that, right? Yeah. And truth be told, when I decided that that's the career path that I wanted to follow, I had no idea of the earning potential, be it great or small, what it was. For me, I was more or less following a passion of mine, right? And most persons, most viewers see professional sports, especially track and field. I could speak from that dynamic. Track and field as a four-year sport. Okay, you just come up when it's time for the Olympics, right, and then you go back and you live normal life for 4 years, and then you come back for the Olympics,
and
right?
And the truth is, you kind of only really do it until you're 30, right? Like, most times you hear about people 35, 36, you think about, and they still running?
Yeah.
Yeah, you just don't think about running in 35.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
And, you know, thankfully, in the Bahamas, we have great genes, and so you find most Bahamian athletes actually take their career into their mid 30s, into some cases late 30s,
right?
And we're still able to perform at a high level. Most of, especially the American athletes, you know, come into their 30s, they truthfully looking at retirement.
Yeah, they're winding it up.
And so, you know, so when you look at sports in general, and especially track and field, yes, the Olympics is great because it's the most prestigious, but there are meets happening months before the Olympics and immediately after the Olympics that most persons don't even realize.
Right.
And that's how you earn your money. The Olympics don't pay you.
Mm.
You know, you don't earn a dollar from competing at the Olympics. Now, if you have sponsors, you could earn something from that. If,
I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know you don't get paid to go
to the Olympics. No, you don't get paid to go to the Olympics.
That is a wonderful
thing. Now, I'll tell you. So you look at, let's say, the World Championships, mm-hmm. which is coming up this in 2022. For a track athlete, that's actually the highest earning meet that you could compete at.
Mm-hmm.
So you look forward to that.
Right, right.
The Olympics is more glamorous, right?
Yeah.
Because it gets all of the marketing attention and all that. Mm. So it's private sponsors that actually pay you during the Olympics. Mm. It's you don't earn an appearance fee or prize money from the Olympics.
That is, I never knew that. Yeah. I never knew that. Wow. So for everybody who kind of want to get to the Olympics, it's literally just about the bragging rights.
Yeah, it's about the bragging rights. And then obviously you establish your brand
right.
through doing Olympic well at the Olympics competes. And then obviously an Olympic medal and all that. It's the most prestigious, right? And like I said, it's through your private sponsors, your endorsers and all that stuff like that, then you are actually able to earn something. So all of those Bahamian athletes that we had at the Olympics, unless someone actually got into the finals or got a medal.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, everybody else just got a participation, basically plaque. Thank you for coming.
Do you think that we are including athletes, professional athletes, do you think we include them enough in the formulation of a national sport plan? I'll tell you what I mean, right? If, for instance, I'm in the ground transportation business. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, ministers come, ministers go. They all feel like they have the right idea. None of them have ever even caught the bus. Talk about own one or operate one or knows what it takes. And so you find that they do things that make people that are in the business, you know, raise their eyebrows and say, what are these people doing?
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that is specific to my industry. I believe that that is the case over in your industry. Do you think that consultation among government to professional in your industry is something that is even existing?
Somewhat existing. I think we have in the Ministry of Sports a few retired athletes
okay.
who serve as either consultants or in certain departments there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, sports is ever-changing.
Mm-hmm.
So what you may have experienced 10 years ago as an athlete is totally different from mm-hmm. what a current athlete is experiencing. So I don't think we do enough with actually listening to or consulting those who are currently in the sport, mm-hmm. currently on the ground, participating. I don't think we consult enough with them to really get an idea of what's going on, you mm-hmm. know?
I know there was talk about bringing back the Bahamas Games to help and fish out talent from among us. Do you think we're doing enough there in the area of sports to kind of discover talent and make sure that the Bahamas and its brand of being a sport powerhouse? Do you think we're doing enough to recreate ourselves over and over? Is there a strong enough national program? Is there a strong enough national identification program? Is there a strong enough scout program? How do we build those things? And I'm hopeful that I see this under Mario Bole, because I know that he's been recruiting talent for basketball for a long time. So he has an eye for talent. He probably knows where some people are. But do you think that maybe that is something we ought to give a little more energy to?
Definitely. I remember I competed at the last Bahama Games. And if I'm not mistaken, that must have been somewhere around 2002, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I think that was about it. Yeah.
So what, almost 20 years, yeah, right?
20 years ago.
And I was excited about that, right? We don't do enough to actually recruit and scout out talent.
Mm-hmm.
Most of our national team members are made up of kids from Nassau, Grand mm-hmm. Bahama. And now, I guess you have a few coming out of Abaco mm-hmm. because of the work that individual coaches put into
sure.
trying to get their athletes seen and exposed, right? I'll tell you, if it wasn't for the individual club system here mm-hmm. that we have going on, track and field, basketball, all these other sports, the government just basically, or the Ministry of Sports, seems to just sit back and just wait and say, okay, let's see what the clubs are doing.
Yeah, yeah. Right? See if y'all could generate me some athletes.
Correct. See if y'all could generate me some athletes. And we're very fortunate for the success that we've had.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you can remember, after 2000 with the Golden Girls, there has been a drought until Tawny and then Sinead O's came up.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Because we didn't do a good enough job of recruiting and having enough athletes come up through the pipeline where we were properly planning our basically progress up through our succession planning. We weren't properly succession planning. And then we've also experienced that drought even with the men quarter mile program.
Yeah.
You know, now we're at the point where thankfully for Stephen Gardner, you know, we're still there. But if you notice, this is the first time in almost two decades that we didn't even have a relay team on the men's side, right? And what happens when Stevie comes off the scene? And I just speak of Stevie right now because obviously he is the flag bearer for the men's program, you know? There are persons like myself, Chris Brown, Wesley Nemore, Yvonne Moncor, Michael Matthew, Ramon Miller, Demetrius Pinder, Andre Williams, Atoy Williams, athletes who would have been there, right? Even Stephen Ubal, athletes who would have been there. And we're at the point now where we're about to transition into life after track and field. We don't see any succession planning, right? Now, it always looks great when one or two kids pop up. And then as a government or as a federation, we jump on that and we say, hey, great, this is the guy that's coming up, whatever, like that. But are we truly out there recruiting and developing? Mm-hmm. No, I honestly don't think so.
What do you say to people that say, you know, we just don't have the resources to get it done? The reason we're not doing it is because we don't have, the money's not there. The money is just, you know, we need it for other things. It's a crisis and the pandemic and Abaco and Dorian. And these are the arguments they use. We cannot afford to take Lil Pookie from True Dumping Ground Corner and put him in a track system. Although we know Pookie could run dead good. Daddy could run good. He could run good. But we don't have money or time for that. What do you say to the government that says that?
Do you think Jamaica has more resources than we do?
I don't. Not personally, no.
I don't think so either.
Right.
Right? But Jamaica has a very successful, especially when it comes to track and field athletics, athletic program. I think we have the ability to do more, but I think we just take it for granted. We honestly take it for granted because we know this is the cycle of Jamaican athletes. They come up real well through their high school programs. Some go off to college. Most stay at home. The ones who stay at home seems to be the ones who are more successful. Bahamian athletes, we go off to college, we remain in the U.S. So the Jamaican professional athletes are more or less training at home in Jamaica at facilities that are below standard when it comes to compared to ours.
Right. But they're still breeding world-class athletes.
At from home. We are relying on the U.S. system to breed and produce ours.
But isn't that because that is a mindset thing, though? Like, you know, even when you consider Bahamians that go off to the NBA, like, what is his name? Kai Ellis is his name? The last...
Kai Jones.
Kai Jones was, you know, recruited recently. And you know what he said? He said, just to be in an American gym playing on the standard of floor and backboard they got here is a completely different thing. Like, we don't have this in the island. So maybe it's a mindset. Like, maybe Bahamian athletes, you know, they feel like they need the hyperbaric chamber and the... I don't know. Maybe we just don't relate to the struggle well enough to build a sports product out of nothing, like the Jamaicans.
Like I said, I think having the hyperbaric chamber and all that stuff, that's great, right? Yeah. But I don't think that determines your success. It makes it a lot easier. Like, who wouldn't want to go play who wouldn't want to play in a gym, you know, your nice hard wooden floors,
fully air conditioned,
somebody there handing you Gatorade when you're done.
Yeah.
But that doesn't determine your success, right? There are persons who are much more successful even coming from worse conditions. And I think just we've really just gotten complacent. Levon, when I look back at my life and growing up with my experiences with track, I remember there was a time when high school nationals or even our senior nationals, standing room only. And then you saw the decline going through every Olympic cycle. The last time we had a really, really good turnout was 2008 Olympics, Olympic trials.
Okay.
Standing room only.
Mm-hmm.
And then our Olympic trials this year, the one before that, like literally you could count the amount of persons there. And truth be told, it's either family or just friends. Like you could literally count. And I'm thinking like, wow, we have some of the greatest athletes on the planet right here. You can't pay to see us compete in Europe. You can't pay to get at the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And the athletes were right here. And there's absolutely no support, no marketing, or not much marketing that went into it.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the decline over the years. You know, so I think we've just taken it. We've taken our success for granted.
What is the role you would say of Bahamian parents in ensuring that there is such a thing as Bahamian sport talent or a Bahamian sport pool? Like, do you think maybe the parents of the 90s were just a bit more included, and that was why we saw the Avard Monkers, we saw the Andretti Baines, we saw the Chandra Stirrups, we saw the... Because all of them would have been women and men that kind of grew up late 90s, early 2000s into the 10s. But I remember your daddy was kind of like always kind of like a partial track coach. Like he would be to all the track events and, you know, like you almost couldn't... The PE teacher had to go and ask Doc, hey, Betty running this one? And like, you know, so he did talent management for you on your behalf, even though it probably wasn't being called that at the time.
Right.
Do you think parents need to get a bit more involved in ensuring that we create or harness just natural physical ability until it develops into talent?
I think the involvement of the parents has always been the same. You know, I was fortunate enough to have my dad there. Someone actually made a joke about it at the track yesterday. I said, boy, Andretti, I remember Doc used to be right here. That's his seat.
Yeah.
You know, every track meet.
Yeah.
You know, and there are parents who are still doing that. And there are some kids who weren't as fortunate not to have parents doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And they still were successful,
mm-hmm.
right? So I think the parent involvement has been consistent. Even now, like if you go to the junior track meets, man, the parents are out there in full force.
Yeah.
But like I said, we have a great youth program. But now once the kids go through high school and from high school now, usually the parents are saying, okay, now you're on your own.
The son of their heart.
Yeah, you're a grown man, you're a grown woman. You're on your own, right? And so that support that the parents gave because, you know, you were living in their household, all that stuff like that. Now they're expecting you, okay, now find your way. You're saying this is what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You went off to college, you got your degree. You don't want to go into a 9-to-5. You want to pursue this professional career. Only so much I can do now. So it's time for you to take this on, right? And so the athletes then look to the federation and the government to say, hey, I have this talent, I have this ability, but I need a little bit more support.
Yeah.
You know, how can you just make it easier? And athletes aren't always looking for money, you know. That's not the thing. Athletes are just looking for, it'll be good to go to the track facility and have a gym there, which now they have, thankfully, through the World Relays.
Right.
But Levon, I remember there were times, as a professional athlete, as an Olympic medalist, returning home to train, and I'm hearing the track close. You have to jump the fence or jump the wall to go use the track. And a security guard coming and saying, hey, what y'all doing here? Track close, get off the track.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, you know, like I'm preparing for a meet in Europe next week.
Yeah.
Like, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
Hey, they say track close.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So we've got to be more sensitive to that kind
correct.
Of stuff.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So let me open the phone line. 323-623-2325-4316. 325-4259. You can call me on any one of those. I'll say it again for you because I don't want you to say I'm saying it too far. 323-622-325-4316-325-4259. You can text me on 422-4796. Andretti Bain is my guest. He's been running since we were 4 years old, y'all. I promise you. I met him in grade 3, and the boy's been running ever since then. I want to tell you this, though, Gurman. Since Andretti them was so good at running, I learned to be good at writing. And so I beat them in every book report we ever do. They never beat me at that. But I never beat them in no track and field event. And then I went over to Prince William and I ran into Stephen Murray and I couldn't win nothing over there. And so I've had my entire life just watching fellas run dead, dead fast for no reason. Andretti's been one of them. And so now we have a new minister of sports. I wanted to get some insight from the longest athlete I've known in my life. And I wanted to find out exactly how does it play out? What does it look like? What are athletes in the arena saying? And, you know, does Amario Boleg bring some sort of hope along with him when he comes? Let's take a call. Good morning, Carly Ron.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, man, good, man. You know, I've been watching this for a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that, you know, with, you know, sport, any sport, it comes down to an issue of management
mm-hmm.
and preparation for transition. Okay.
Okay.
Now you know. I recall Shawnee Miller as a junior athlete.
Mm-hmm.
At one point in the program, her father took over the management of her career.
Okay.
I think she was in high school. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But see, I think, you know, we need to, and because, you know, the amount of advertisement we get from track and field,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it pays for itself, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But for persons to get concerned, we look at the generation that is coming after this generation, you know, unlike politics, unlike business, it's always the generation that comes after that we got to be working on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we just slack off, we lose a whole generation of athletes. Mm-hmm. You know, just to plain negligence. I mean, I'm still scratching my head, you know, on the Stephen Gardner thing, you know. I mean, you know, a guy, you know, he comes actually out of nowhere.
Right.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah,
you know,
from
and
Abaco.
He just does this thing, man.
Yeah.
You know, we need
but again, just natural ability. Natural mm-hmm. ability that obviously someone discovered in enough time to turn it into talent.
Yo. Right.
Did we lose the call? Let's take another one. 323-622-3232-324-316. I apologize about that call. I don't know what happened. And 325-4259. You can give me a call on any one of those. You can text me. Let me see what these text messages have to say. This one here says, I'd like to know what's the monthly payroll for this cabinet. I don't know. It's a lot. Good morning, Levan. More money needs to be put into sports. Do you know if the government will decide to do a national lottery to fund sports in the country? This is one avenue of income. There's been no talk about that. This one here says sports should be free of politics. Do you agree or disagree? I don't agree with that. As a matter of fact, in a country as small as the Bahamas, there's no way to take the politics out of sports. Now, do I agree with all of the politicking surrounding the B3As and the this one A and all these other bunch of A's? I don't know if I agree with all of that stuff, but definitely you need government-sponsored facilities. You need government-sponsored subsidies. You need government-sponsored, I guess, events and coordination. You kind of just need that kind of stuff. And then you also need the government to create events that will create the opportunity for its athlete. That's kind of, other than that, they would have to jump the fence to go compete rather than have training time allotted, et cetera, et cetera. Let's take some more calls. Good morning, Carly, you're on.
Good morning, Mr. Miller.
Hey, Sparky.
Right here. You know, I just made mention of something this morning, and it seems that they persisted. Mr. Miller, don't you think we are wasting time and energy asking these questions when most of us who are adults know that we just went through a general election? We just went through years of turmoil and a downward spiral in our health, in our economy, in the management of our country. We went through almost hell. The Bahamian people are down on their knees. The new government has just been sworn in. I don't even know if they had their first cabinet meeting yet.
Mm.
I don't know if the ministers even met their staff yet. the permanent secretaries yet. And we are asking already if they need this money for this and that and the next. Don't you think that we should give them time to at least find out if there's any money in the treasury?
Well, Sparky, that could be the way that you've opted to do it, the way that I've opted. That could be the way that you've opted to do it. The way that I've opted to do it, though, Sparky, is I want to make sure that we are helping them to think about the things that they would need to think about when they do figure out how much money is there. Because even if they go there and there's not a single dime, what are we going to do? Pack the Bahamas up and put it in our pocket and carry it? That's not possible.
What I'm saying is, these, like yourself, mm-hmm. like myself, we're not young kids. We've been around the political world, listening, trying, being partisans, we've been at FNFPLP's co-workers, staff around these different campaigns and so forth. We understand the FNF, UBBPLP, we understand the bottom line is our country is in dire straits. Whoever we decided that are responsible enough to lead us, mm-hmm. I think we should give them some time to look over the books, to get their minds together. Because they've been in the political field trying to strip and snap to get in there for many years.
Mm. All right, let's take another one, Kermit. Good morning, caller. You're on. Not there. 323-622-3254-316-325-4259. And Dreddy Bain is my guy. What's next for you, Dreddy?
So, right now I've just... I'm still recovering, actually, from an Achilles, mm-hmm. torn Achilles injury. So I've actually been the past 4 years without competing, mm-hmm. right? So I've focused a little bit more on my businesses outside of track and field.
Okay.
You know, Andretti being health and fitness services, my online supplement store, nutrition store, my health and fitness coaching. I've focused a little bit more on that over the past 4 years. Mm-hmm. And just continuing to build my brand outside of basically professional athletics.
Plan to compete again?
That's my plan. Mm-hmm. That's my plan. So I'm going to be 36 this year, going into next season. Mm-hmm. So falling on the older end of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. But I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it, and I've found a way to ensure that I could afford to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a passion of mine. I honestly believe that track and field has brought me.
This is going to be the comeback. You're going to be the comeback kid. Andretti Bain, the comeback kid, is in, and he's in lane 5.
Well, I'll tell you this. Track and field has brought me to my purpose.
Okay.
You know, I honestly believe that I've discovered my purpose in life through track and field. I had a very successful track and field career. I could end my career now with absolutely no regrets.
Okay.
You know, I've competed at the highest level. I've won at the highest level. The things that I was able to accomplish, you know, it's the things that I've prayed for.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing that drives me at this point is just the true satisfaction and enjoyment that I get from it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see how I could still use that stage, that platform, to still encourage and motivate and inspire others to following their dreams.
You doing any mentorship?
Definitely,
mm-hmm.
definitely. You know, I have a youth health and fitness program, and it's not just singled out to track and field athletes, it's kids from every sport. And, you know, I really preach to them, dream big, work hard, and have faith.
Yeah.
Had I known as a 5-year-old kid that I would actually achieve the dreams and goals that I set out,
yeah.
I would have been that much more diligent
yeah.
in pursuing them.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, as cliche as it sounds, the sky is truly the limit for any athlete.
Yeah.
You know, and sports in general is a natural talent that you could use to truly travel the world,
mm-hmm.
Meet persons, experience things, and also be a blessing to others. And in regards to the last call, I think Sparky is his name.
Mm-hmm.
I think our conversation today isn't a knock on any particular government,
mm-hmm.
especially not this current government.
Yeah.
I think our conversation today is just a reflection in general of the landscape of sports in the country, past, present, and future.
Right.
You know, and what it's going to take.
What's gonna be the next big thing?
Because
we've got to figure that out.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, and we have, when we look at events like World Relays and all these different things like that. The one I remember what was an inspiration for me is growing up watching our Olympians on television. And then when you're coming home and you see these Olympians compete,
mm-hmm.
it felt real.
Yeah.
you know, most persons see the LeBrons and all that stuff on television, but they'll never have an opportunity to meet them in person. So it feels like a movie.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Bahamas is so small that we could actually see and touch an Andretti Bain, a Stephen Gardner, mm-hmm. Sean A. Miller.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Yeah. We could see and touch that. We could feel that. So we know that's real.
Yeah, yeah.
And in some instances, persons could say, you know what? Man, I used to probably beat this fella in high school or this girl. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so we really need to just embrace what it is that we have and try to capitalize it. Think about it. I don't think there's ever been a time in the history of the Olympics that a single country won the men and women's 400 meters. The Bahamas should be known as the 400 meter capital of the world.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely correct. So if there is one big thing, we've got 2 minutes left. If there's one big thing that you hope to see early, what is that?
Honestly, just forward thinking. I think over the last few years, especially with the pandemic, a lot of persons used the pandemic to just sit back and be reactive.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
There was no proactive thinking. There was nothing thinking outside of the box. How can we get creative so that we could keep this engine of sports going, keep our athletes going? So I just really like to see a more proactive approach to sports and really just facilitating more experiences or opportunities for athletes.
Mm. You open to some consultancy?
Definitely.
All right. Well, he's Andretti Bain. Tell him how to find you.
AndrettiBain.com. That's AndrettiBain.com. That's my website, my email address, my telephone number. Everything is on that.
All right. Thank you so much for coming, Andretti. Well, you know who I am. This is Stephen Miller. We're on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. They're your station for fresh news and smart talk. So don't move. I promise they've got the news. That happens next.
Men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson.